This evening, confirmands, we're going to do the first commandment. Are you excited?
No.
You should be. The first commandment is, you shall have no other gods. And I kind of know what you're thinking. Pastor, I'm not Buddhist. I'm not Muslim. I don't worship things of sticks or stones. And so therefore, this commandment's going to be a breeze. In fact, I can tell you right now, I'm an old-fashioned, red-blooded American. I worship the big guy upstairs. In fact, I really try to make it every Sunday, although sometimes I can't. And so therefore, I should be a lickety-split. I can do the first commandment, no problem, right? Well, if that's what you're thinking, you're wrong. See, the problem is with the first commandment, it really undoes us. In other words, as we look in the mirror of God's law, that first commandment, we break it every day in our thoughts, in our words, and our deeds. In fact, any of the commandments that you break, you're breaking the first commandment along with them, because they all kind of feed off of it, one being the most important and the descending order downhill from there. So, how can this be, Pastor? If I told you I'm not a Muslim, I'm not a Hindu, I'm not a Buddhist, I don't believe I'm an adulterer or an idolatry type of person, I could not possibly be worshiping a false god. Do you feel that way? Maybe you do. But here's the deal. Let's let Luther explain it to you from the Large Catechism. He wrote this answer to this question. The question, what does it mean to have a god, or what is a god? To which Luther wrote, a God means that from which we are to expect all good and in which we are to take refuge in all distress. So to have a God is nothing more than trusting and believing Him with the heart. Now I say that whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God. As I read that, I think, you know, that really changes everything. Because worshiping a false god doesn't mean that it has to be made of sticks or stones. The fact of the matter is, to worship a false god is wherever we set our hearts upon and look for the highest good. And that could take many different forms. That is, a God that we have and the God that we worship is whatever we're looking to for the highest good in our lives. Now, that could take many different forms. It could take fame or fortune or family. Did you get that? All F words, right? And then you have power and pleasure and Porsches. Now, all of them by themselves, there's nothing wrong with it. Is there something wrong with your family? No. Is there something wrong with being famous or wealthy? No. Is there something wrong with driving a Porsche? I don't know. I don't own one. But the fact of the matter is, everyone could be your God. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. See, the reality is, we can look at that and say, you know what, God? I want security. I want success. I want recreation. And even my family could become a God for me. It's wherever I allow my highest good, wherever I look for that great comfort, or as Luther says, having another God. That could be my false God, whatever overshadows the triune God. So what is it that you're always seeking after? What is it in your life that you see as primo importance? Now, let's just try these on for starters. How about food, clothing, and shelter? Those are kind of like three give-me's. You got to have them to live and survive. But can we ever make those types of things our God? I've got them in hand. But can they ever become God-like to me? Well, listen to what Jesus says. He says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? There's food. What shall we drink? Well, there's water, also food. And what shall we wear? Clothing. For the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them all, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Did you get that? You can make food, shelter, and clothing into a God. So, the first commandment is all about keeping the first things first. And the most important thing of all, as Luther says, we are to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. When we're not fearing God, I don't mean like sitting in the corner like, oh, it's God, don't hurt me. But we don't have that ultimate awe and respect for the creator of the heavens and the earth. That's really known as breaking the first commandment, because you're not fearing him above all things and we're sinning. Whenever we don't love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, body, and strength, we're breaking the first commandment. And whenever we don't trust in him above all things, have you ever worried about stuff? Like, will I ever get a boyfriend? Will I ever get a girlfriend? Will I ever pass the test? Will I ever have any friends in school? You begin to have all these worries and doubts in life, and you begin to ask the question, can I, God, really be trusted? Simply asking the question is kind of sinful, because we are called to fear, love, and trust him above all things. But I'll take you off the hook. We're all guilty. Every single one of us, every single day, thought, word, and deed, we break this commandment on a daily basis, and I'm not glad to say that. So the question is, what is your God? What is it that you keep coming back to as the top number one important thing in your life? Maybe it's simply having a good life. If I can just eat, drink, and be merry, I'll be happy. Or maybe it's the American dream. Now, you guys are a little young for this, but I think some of the adults will understand. I want a two-car garage. I want steaks on the grill. And I want to be surrounded with happiness and hope all the days of my life. Is that wrong? Well, it's certainly popular. But there is nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. I've had a steak off the grill like 3 nights ago, and it was delicious. It's not wrong, but that is why we can so easily have this type of subtle idolatry that we totally miss. We don't even notice it when they become our God in effect in our daily lives. Now, I wonder, do you lose sight of following the ways that the Lord is and seeking after him because you're preoccupied with other things in your life? Is there things that kind of get in your way of that relationship with our Heavenly Father? That relationship of fear, loving, and trusting him above all things? Well, here's the diagnostic test. And this is our mirror to see if we've really gotten off track. And believe you me, we've all get off track. Do we fear, love, and trust in him above all things? There is only one person that I know of, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's only one guy that I ever known that was able to keep the first commandment perfectly. Never once did he succumb. Never placed anything over his relationship with his Heavenly Father once ever. Are you guessing who I'm talking about? Jesus. Jesus did. And that same man, Jesus Christ, goes to the cross to pay for our sins. He is not only the Son of God, but he is also the one that is able to fulfill the law on your behalf. He was crucified. His blood covers the multitude of all of our sins, of making everything else in our lives to be God in the place of our rightful triune Heavenly Father. And the good thing is, his rising from the dead assures you and me that death will not end our lives, but we'll have the eternal life with him in heaven. And our salvation for him is assured through the waters of our baptism as we place our faith in him. Now, there is life ahead, there is new life ahead, and there's eternal life ahead. It's all stretched out before us simply by trusting in him. Now, for you to have the Spirit given to you in holy baptism, the Spirit does a lot of big things in your life and mine. First of all, the Spirit in our lives will usher the Word of God in and help us to understand it. We talked about that last week in confirmation. But that Spirit will make us aware of the sins that we commit daily in our thought, words, and deeds. And you think about the first commandment, it stands at the head of the list for all those new people in God. When God calls us to faith in him, he places the commandments before us, especially the first one, as a daily reminder of who our God is. A daily reminder of who we're supposed to stand in awe of, who we're supposed to trust in, and who exactly, who are we exactly to love? It's him and him only. So the first commandment does a couple of things. Just review, I'm almost done. First, it reminds you and me that we're still sinners. And we need the righteousness of Jesus Christ who fulfilled the first commandment. And secondly, it opens to us when we hear and receive the gospel and the new life we have in Jesus Christ. So in other words, that first commandment makes us aware of our need for a Savior. And then ultimately, it reveals to us that there Christ is through the gospel. And now that you and I are new people in Jesus Christ, the first commandment also is our joy. It's also our delight. It's also as we know that He is our true God and that we know we can fear, love, and trust Him because He is a faithful God. So tonight, I'm glad you're not Buddhist. I'm glad you're not Muslim. I'm glad you're here to learn about the triune God who sent His Son to be your Savior. But most importantly, I'm glad that we have a God who loves us. Amen? Amen.